Welcome to another Stories, Tales, Myths, and Legends. I'm Nathan, and today I'm bringing you a fairy tale first penned by Charles Perrault. This tale is from a translation from Perrault's original French version of his 1697 book, Tales and Stories of the Past with Morals, more commonly known as Tales of Mother Goose, and it's titled The Master Cat, or Puss in Boots. I hope you enjoy. The Master Cat, or Puss in Boots. There was a miller who left no more estate to the three sons he had than his mill, his ass, and his cat. The partition was soon made. Neither the scrivener nor attorney were sent for. They would soon have eaten up all the poor patrimony. The eldest had the mill, the second the ass, and the youngest nothing but the cat. The poor young fellow was quite comfortless at having so poor a lot. "My brothers," said he, "may get their living handsomely enough by joining their stocks together. But for my part, when I have eaten up my cat and made a muff of his skin, I must die with hunger." The cat, who heard all this, but made as if he did not, said to him with a grave and serious air, "Do not thus afflict yourself, my good master. You have only to give me a bag and get a pair of boots made for me, that I may scamper through the dirt and the brambles, and you shall see that you have not so bad a portion of me as you imagine." Though the cat's master did not build very much upon what he said, he had, however, often seen him play a great many cunning tricks to catch rats and mice, as when he used to hang by the heels or hide himself in the meal and make as if he were dead, so that he did not altogether despair of his affording him some help in his miserable condition. When the cat had what he asked for, he booted himself very gallantly, and putting his bag about his neck, he held the strings of it in his two forepaws and went into a warren where there was a great abundance of rabbits. He put bran and sow thistle into his bag, and stretching himself out at length, as if he had been dead, he waited for some young rabbit, not yet acquainted with the deceits of the world, to come and rummage his bag for what he had put into it. Scarce was he lain down, but he had what he wanted. A rash and foolish young rabbit jumped into his bag, and Monsieur Puss, immediately drawing close the strings, took and killed him without pity. Proud of his prey, he went with it to the palace and asked to speak with his majesty. He was showed upstairs into the king's apartment, and making a low reverence, said to him, "I have brought to you, sir, a rabbit of the warren which my noble lord Marquis of Carabas, for that was the title which Puss was pleased to give his master, has commanded me to present to your majesty from him." "Tell thy master," said the king, "that I thank him, and that he does me a great deal of pleasure." Another time he went and hid himself among the standing corn, holding still his bag open, and when a brace of partridges ran into it, he drew the strings, and so caught them both. He went and made a present of these to the king, as he had done before of the rabbit, which he took in the warren. The king in like manner received the partridges with great pleasure and ordered him some money to drink. The cat continued for 2 or 3 months thus to carry his majesty from time to time game of his master's taking. One day in particular, when he knew for certain that the king was to take the air along the riverside with his daughter, the most beautiful princess in the world, he said to his master, "If you will follow my advice, your fortune is made. You have nothing else to do but go and wash yourself in the river, in the part that I show you, and leave the rest to me." The Marquis of Carabas did what the cat advised him to do without knowing why or wherefore. While he was washing, the king passed by, and the cat began to cry out as loud as he could, "Help! Help! My Lord Marquis of Carabas is drowning!" At this noise, the king put his head out his coach window, and finding it was the cat who had so often brought him such good game, he commanded his guards to run immediately to the assistance of his lordship, the Marquis of Carabas. While they were drawing the poor marquis out of the river, the cat came up to the coach and told the king that while his master was washing, there came by some rogues, who went off with his clothes, though he had cried out, "Thieves! Thieves!" several times, as loud as he could. This cunning cat had hidden the clothes under a great stone. The king immediately commanded the officers of his wardrobe to run and fetch one of his best suits for the Lord Marquis of Carabas. The king received him with great kindness, and the fine clothes he had given him set off his good mien, for he was well made and very handsome in person. The king's daughter took a secret inclination to him, and the Marquis of Carabas had no sooner cast two or three respectful and somewhat tender glances, but she fell in love with him to distraction. The king would needs have him come into his coach and take part of the airing. The cat, quite overjoyed to see his project begin to succeed, marched on before, and meeting up with some countrymen who were mowing a meadow, said to them, "Good people, you who are mowing, if you do not tell the king that the meadow you mow belongs to my Lord Marquis of Carabas, you shall be chopped as small as minced meat." The king did not fail asking of the mowers to whom the meadow they were mowing belonged. "To my Lord Marquis of Carabas," answered they all together, for the cat's threat had made them terribly afraid. "Truly a fine estate," said the king to the Marquis of Carabas. "You see, sir," said the Marquis, "this is a meadow which never fails to yield a plentiful harvest every year." The master cat, who still went on before, met with some reapers and said to them, "Good people, you who are reaping, if you do not tell the king that all this corn belongs to the Marquis of Carabas, you shall be chopped as small as mincemeat." The king, who passed by a moment after, would needs know to whom all that corn which he then saw did belong. "To my Lord Marquis of Carabas," replied the reapers, and the king again congratulated the Marquis. The master cat, who always went before, said the same words to all he met, and the king was astonished at the vast estates of my Lord Marquis of Carabas. Monsieur Puss came at last to a stately castle, the master of which was an ogre, the richest had ever been known, for all the lands which the king had then gone over belonged to this castle. The cat, who had taken care to inform himself who this ogre was and what he could do, asked to speak with him, saying he could not pass so near his castle without having the honor of paying his respects to him. The ogre received him as civilly as an ogre could do, and made him sit down. "I have been assured," said the cat, "that you have the gift of being able to change yourself into all sorts of creatures that you have mind to. You can, for example, transform yourself into a lion or elephant, and the like." "This is true," answered the ogre very briskly, "and to convince you, you shall see me now become a lion." Puss was so sadly terrified at the sight of a lion so near him that he immediately got into the gutter, not without abundance of trouble and danger because of his boots, which were ill-suited for walking upon the tiles. A little while after, when Puss saw that the ogre had resumed his natural form, he came down and owned that he had been much frightened. "I have been moreover informed," said the cat, "but I know not how to believe it, that you have also the power to take on the shape of the smallest animals, for example. You change yourself into a rat or a mouse, but I must own to you, I take this to be impossible." "Impossible?" cried the ogre. "You shall see that presently," and at the same time changed into a mouse and began to run about the floor. Puss no sooner perceived this, but fell upon him and ate him up. Meanwhile, the king, who saw as he passed this fine castle of the ogres, had a mind to go into it. Puss, who heard the noise of his majesty's coach running over the drawbridge, ran out and said to the king, "Your majesty is welcome to this castle of my Lord Marquis of Carabas." "What? My Lord Marquis?" cried the king. "And does this castle also belong to you? There can be nothing finer than this court and all the stately buildings which surround it. Let us go into it, if you please." The Marquis gave his hand to the princess and followed the king, who went up first. They passed into a spacious hall, where they found a magnificent coalition which the ogre had prepared for his friends, who were that very day to visit him, but dared not to enter, knowing the king was there. His Majesty was perfectly charmed with the good qualities of the Lord Marquis of Carabas, as was his daughter, who was fallen violently in love with him, and seeing the vast estate he possessed, said to him, after having drank 5 or 6 glasses, "It will be owing to yourself only, my Lord Marquis, if you are not my son-in-law." The Marquis, making several low bows, accepted the honor which his Majesty conferred upon him, and forthwith, that very same day, married the princess. Puss became a great lord, and never ran after mice any more, but only for his diversion. Charles Perrault laid the groundwork that led to folk tales becoming fairy tales. He was a major inspiration for the Brothers Grimm over 100 years later, and then Hans Christian Andersen. Besides the tale I just read, Perrault is responsible for Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and Little Red Riding Hood. Perrault died in 1703 at the age of 75, but his legacy continues to shape how we tell stories today. If you enjoyed this episode of Stories, Tales, Myths, and Legends, please subscribe and maybe even leave a review. I'll bring you another story, tale, myth, or legend again soon. The podcast is over, everybody, but I'd like to talk with you about one last brief thing. I don't monetize this podcast through ad revenue or ask you to pop in anywhere to leave donations. That's not what Sharing Stories is about. But I've been working on a project that has taken up a lot of my time and made it so I had a little less time to devote to getting podcast episodes out there for you to enjoy. I wrote a book about stuff you should know if you're looking to work in a public library. It's titled Unintentional Librarian, A Beginner's Guide to Working in a Public Library. You can pick it up through Amazon or request it at your local bookstore or library, if learning about working in a public library is something you're interested in. Thank you for listening to the podcast.